might be a little busy opening homework and doing all that. Well, I can't have children exploring in my life. I didn't think about that yet.
Well, you probably have to wear something nice and have nice hair. I might just like be out there like exploring places. And probably, like, you have to know who you're gonna date. After the day, you probably can drive her someplace to the movies or somewhere. Probably they might be like that kind of face, and probably make their cheeks kind of red. If they really like the girl, they might be like, or if they don't like it, they're like, oh. I had one, but then we broke up. They really like the boys. They might like be waiting for them to open up the ring thing to entertain her. No wife and no children. But like if they don't, if they just want to hang out, they might make the girls sad. Like, that's all the things, but if you really want it, just go for it.
Okay, more relationship advice from Mackenzie's little brother. He's pretty cool. Guys, we're going to have some fun today. I love this series. I love what we've been talking about. And last week, I kind of set more of a foundation for where we're going. And today and next week and week after, this is when we get into a bit more practical type stuff. So I'm excited about it. But in order to do this somewhat effectively, what I want to do is this. You can throw up the slide right now. So whenever we're talking about relationships, the subject is so vast and there's so much stuff. And there's so many like specific scenarios that it's impossible in one talk or two talks or even five talks to cover every single thing that needs to be covered. And so what I want to do is this, is offer you the opportunity at any point during today's talk or future talks that we have, that if you have a question about something specific, like if I say something and you're like, well, what in the world does that mean? I don't understand that. Or, well, but that doesn't relate in my situation. Here's what happened. What I want you to be able to do is text. And if we can get that up there real quick, that would be wonderful. I want you to be able to text in your questions at any point. So you can do it today, and if I'm able to get to your question, I will try to answer it. If I can't, you will utilize some of your questions for future talks. So the instructions will be up on the screen when they come up. It's pretty simple. You just text to the number 22333. You just type in FSM Life space at some point. And then you can look at that. Cool? Sound good? Is it working back there? Or is it just having troubles? Troubles? Okay. No problem. Number's 22333. It'll pop up there in just a little bit, and we'll be able to work on that. Okay. Now, let's pray, because I'm tired, and a lot of people are tired, and it's been a tired kind of day. I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into this. God, I just thank you that we get to be here at FSM. God, I thank you for all the students who've come out today. And God, we thank you that we can gather and that we can grow and learn and be together. And so, God, as we go into today, Lord, as we talk about a subject that's really important, as we talk about a subject that we're all thinking about, that we're all wrestling with, that we all discuss and all have different struggles and opinions and all that kind of thing, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak today. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to students right where they're at their different points in their life, at their different scenarios, and that, God, that we would all leave here being impacted by something. God, our hope is that when we come in, that we not leave and just go about in the exact same way. We want to come here, and we want to grow. We want to experience you. We want to hear from you. And so, Lord, I just pray that would happen for all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, sounds good. You ready to go? So here's the thing. Culture, we're talking about culture, all right, today. And culture sends us all kinds of different messages on what it means to be in a relationship. Culture gives us all kind of standards of what relationships should look like. And so a lot of times, regardless of whether you're a Christian or not a Christian or anything like that, what culture speaks to us, oftentimes it gets implanted in our head, and pretty soon we think, well, that must be the normal way that things are done. That should be pretty normal, okay? And this is not something new or anything like that. Back in biblical times, okay, the same kind of thing was happening. In fact, Paul, one of the apostles, was writing to a church in Corinth a long time ago, and he was writing to this group of Christians, and this group of Christians, they'd become saved, they'd come to know Jesus, but in that culture at the time, in the city of Corinth, the standard for what a relationship would look like or what was normal was completely whack. I mean, it was normal in that time that you would go to the temple and that you would have sex with prostitutes, and that was just kind of considered normal, okay? Sexual immorality was just a common everyday thing. It was nothing odd, nothing weird about that. And so as Paul's writing to this church, this group of Christians, they've just come to know Jesus, and this is kind of what they've been a part of in their culture. And Paul has to write to them and actually teach them, hey, look, now that you know Christ, even though culture says that that's what the standard is, and even though culture says that this is okay, you know what? It's actually not really okay. This is not God's best. This is not what God would have for you, okay? And so I think that with culture, a lot of times, we get sort of a fantasy view of what love is. We get a fantasy view of what love looks like. And when Paul writes, he says this. He says this in 1 Corinthians 13:9. It says this, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Then he says this, verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put all of my childish ways behind me. Okay, in other words, what he's saying is this, when I was a child, I thought in childish ways. I thought that things that weren't mature were right. Okay, I thought that things were thought that you know certain things should be a certain way. But then when I became mature, I realized, oh, that's not the case. And so when Paul's writing this particular portion of scripture, he's talking about love. That's what he's talking about. Okay, that follows the verse about love in 1 Corinthians that we've all heard describing love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And then Paul writes this verse and he says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. In other words, I thought about love like a child would think about love. But when I became mature, I thought about love like somebody who's mature would think about love. And so I just want to tell you today, there's a childish way to think about love and there's a mature way to think about love and relationships. And I believe, truthfully, I think that culture gives us a pretty childish, imperfect way to look at love and relationships, but I think that there's a better way. So we're going to talk about two misconceptions that we're fed from culture. Two misconceptions. I'm going to hit on just two of them this week, and hopefully with these two things, it's going to equip you very helpfully. So here we go. Misconception number one, okay? Misconception number one that culture tells us is the right person misconception, the quote-unquote right person misconception. So culture's taught us this, that in our pursuit for a relationship, the goal is to find the right person. And until that happens, until you find the right person, you're left searching. You're left kind of wandering. You're left out there. And until you find the right person, things in your life are not going to be as optimal as they should be. Until you find that right person, things probably aren't going to be okay. Until you find the right person, you're really not whole and you're really not complete. I was looking online and I saw this video that I thought described this perfectly well. And so I'm going to let them show you this video of some Lego men, and they're going to tell you what I'm trying to tell you as well. Go for it.
The idea of finding an amazing character called the right person. Back in the olden days, you made do. You just got together with someone because their land was next to yours and your plow perfectly complemented their oxen. It was all pretty practical. But now, we're romantics with laptops, out to find the ideal fit. Someone who's beautiful, who totally understands us. Unfortunately, it's pretty hard. So many people aren't quite right. But still, we keep going. They must be out there. That's what the stories have told us since childhood. But perfection is, at best, for angels only. A perfect seeming partner might appear compatible in so many ways, but still we might come to blows over the color of the curtains, tea versus coffee, or children's names. The real challenge of relationships isn't to find the perfect match. It's to negotiate the differences without panic or nastiness, and stop blowing up perfectly good relationships from mistaken dreams of flawless scenarios. Learning to give up on perfection may be just about the most romantic move any of us could make.
Yeah, thank you, Lego guys. I thought that they explained that really well. But back to culture, okay? Because culture tells us that you've got to find that right person, that that's the most important thing. How many of you have ever watched The Bachelor or The Bachelorette? Anybody? Okay. And the guys are actually into it. Very fun. Very, very fun. So if you've ever watched The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, what is it? So it's an overattractive guy or an overattractive girl trying to find the right one. And so they're put in this scenario, and they have, you know, their pick of 20 different people, and one of them is supposed to be the right one. Okay? And so they go through all this heartbreak and turmoil and drama, and finally, at the very, very end, the guy or the girl offers a proposal, and then that one, that's the right one, okay? And that person's gonna live happily ever after, and they're gonna have the best life ever. Did you know that there's only been, I think, 2 Bachelor and Bachelorettes that actually sort of stayed together after the whole thing? And it might even be 1 at this point. So fanciful, so not realistic. But that's what culture tells us. It's all about the right person. It's all about the right person. Find the person who completes you. Find the person who you can't live life without. Find the person who you would give up everything just to be with. These phrases that we hear, they sound romantic, they sound thrilling, but they're a complete misunderstanding of what real relationship is. They're a complete misunderstanding of that. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands on this, but how many of you in your mind, or maybe even like literally have a list of qualities that you're looking for in somebody that you want to have a relationship with? You don't have to raise your hand or anything like that, okay? Some of us have actual lists. I know of people who literally have gone to their journal and said, they need to be this, they need to be this, they need to be this. And then some of us, we don't write it down, but we kind of have it in our heart. It's like written on our heart. It's a mental checklist, okay? Well, they need to not be a weirdo or a creeper, but they need to have all these different kinds of qualities, okay? All of us, to some degree, have a list of, okay, this is what I'd like, this is what I don't like. This is what I'd prefer, this is what I don't prefer. And we use that mental checklist as we're getting to know people to filter whether they're somebody we could see ourselves with, right? But I read this amazing statement this week that I think is profound, okay? I think it's profound, and it's completely changed some of the way I look at that. It's pretty crazy. It says this, that most people, when it comes to their list, whether it's written down or in their mind, most people will abandon their list for 2 things, attraction and chemistry. Attraction and chemistry. That means that if you have a list of all these qualities, I want them to be this, I want them to act like this, I want them to think this way, I want them to talk this way, I want them to be a Christian, all this kind of thing, that you will most likely abandon that list if somebody comes along who you're really attracted to and there's this mysterious thing called chemistry that's happening between the two of you. Okay? All of a sudden, when that happens, the list kind of sort of takes a backseat. Well, maybe I didn't want a guy that was like that. Maybe I didn't want a girl who was a Christian. I don't know. I'm attracted, and I've got chemistry with this person. This is pretty awesome. Okay? And I want to argue something when it comes to this whole idea of the right person. Okay? Here's the concept. You can have attraction and chemistry with more than one person. You can have a lot of attraction and a lot of chemistry with more than just one person. You can have attraction and chemistry with a whole lot of people. And being in an established relationship like a marriage, that doesn't change that, okay? That doesn't change that at all. My wife, I guarantee you, can be attracted and have chemistry with more guys than just me, okay? And the same is true. There's girls that I could have attraction and chemistry with beyond just my wife, okay? So what does that leave us with? Zach, are you telling me that there's no such thing as the right person? Yeah, I'm kind of telling you that. I'm kind of telling you that there's no such thing as the quote-unquote right person, because the search for the right person is a search that will never end. It will never end because there's always going to be people that you're attracted to. There's always going to be people that you have chemistry with. Always going to happen. And those feelings of attraction and chemistry will make you think that the right person is the right person. Okay? You've probably experienced this before, okay? Some of you, you like somebody and you're really attracted to them and it feels good and you're like, man, that's the right person. That's the right person. That's the one for me. And then all of a sudden you discover they don't like you back, okay? Or you try to go out and it just doesn't happen and you realize, okay, well, maybe that wasn't the right person. The search can go on and on and on, okay? Culture tells us that we're supposed to find the right person. And it starts in high school, okay? Middle school, I guess maybe a hair, but like it really starts to hit when you're in high school. That's when you really start to think, wow, you're probably at an age where some of your parents might let you go out with others, okay? Or you might be at a place where people might, you might be able to do more of that kind of stuff, okay? You're thinking more long-term at this point in high school, okay? And so you're at that point, and culture's saying, look for the right person, look for the right person. But I think that there is a better way. I think there's a far better way. I think that God gives us a far better way because while culture says, go look for the right person, look for the right person, the better way is this. Become the right person. Become the right person. Culture says, find the right person. I believe God says, become the right person. Become the right person. Become the right person and your relationship is going to be great. But if you go looking for the right person and think that that's all that there is to it, probably not going to end on a great relationship because like I said, the right person, quote unquote, I don't know if there is one. I don't know if there is one. We'll talk about that later. This whole idea of searching for Mr. or Mrs. Wright, I'm sorry, I lost my place there. Forgive me. So anyway, I was going to go into a story here. So this idea of culture telling you find the right person, but becoming the right person is what I believe God would say. Reminds me of this story. And here's a story. This is actually a true story of a girl named Denise. And Denise grew up in a religious home. She grew up a Christian. And when she graduated from college, she moved to a different city and she immersed herself in kind of the dating culture of society. Just kind of, you know, like we all know. And in her words, she said this, you know, it's not like I quit believing like what I believed, but I kind of put it on the back burner for a season. I decided when it came to dating and my relationships with guys, I wasn't going to factor God into the mix. Before long, she said, her lifestyle bore little trace of the religious values and morals she'd been raised to embrace. Dating was just another form of entertainment. Guys came, guys went. There was guilt, but there were ways to deal with the guilt. She wasn't doing anything that everybody else around her wasn't doing. There weren't any significant consequences. She even prayed occasionally. Life was actually pretty good. Denise developed some effective coping skills for times when things were painful or when things weren't going so great. But then Denise met the right person. It happened at a friend's apartment complex during a party one night. An hour or so into the evening, a guy she'd never seen before walked in, and she knew immediately that he was somebody that she needed to meet. Before the night was over, she managed to get herself introduced to a guy named Mitchell and his group of friends. And in her words, he was the quote-unquote total package. Looks, personality, career, everything. A few minutes into the conversation, it became apparent that Mitchell was a Christian. And in a lifestyle kind of sense, not just a cultural one. He was serious about his faith. Even in a social setting, it was evident that his faith was integral to every aspect of his life. And Denise found this strangely appealing. It surfaced those things she'd kind of put in a box and sort of put on the back burner. So Denise left this party determined to find a way to cross paths with him again. Following weekend, Denise was back at home. She was visiting her family. And on a Saturday afternoon, she was talking with her mom while her mom was folding clothes. And it wasn't long before her encounter with Mitchell surfaced. She went on to talk about his looks, his job, his maturity, all this kind of stuff. But then she realized that she began talking a lot about his faith and how it was central to his life and his lifestyle. And she found it, wow, I'm really attracted to this guy. And she said, Mom, he's like a real Christian. He's the kind of guy I've been looking for. And Denise said that it was this point in the conversation that her mom put down what she was doing, looked up at Denise, and said, sweetheart, the problem is a guy like that is not looking for a girl like you. A guy like that is not looking for a girl like you. See, you can search for the right person. You can dedicate your life to saying, I'm going to search for the right person. Or you can say, no, I want to become the right person. I want to become the kind of person that I want to be with. I want to become the kind of person that's worthy of a good, solid relationship. So the question is, self-assess. Do you find yourself more looking for the right person, or do you find yourself saying, how can I become the right person? How can I become the right person to attract the person that I really do want in the future? You know, the Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And we use that a lot when we talk about when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and starts to change our life, that we start exhibiting fruits of the Spirit, love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, okay? And the Bible says against those things there is no law. And so sometimes we'll look at that verse and we use it as kind of a just a, you know, a way to assess ourselves. Like, God, you know, how, is your Holy Spirit working in me? Am I becoming more patient? Am I becoming more self-controlled? Am I loving in the way that I'm treating others? Well, I would challenge us today with this. Have you ever thought about using that list as sort of a litmus test for where you're at personally? Have you ever thought, maybe I could use that to kind of assess where I'm at, to see if I'm becoming the right person in a relationship? Because the truth of the matter is this, what you become, you will attract. What you become, you will attract, okay? It's absolutely a total law. Stores use this all the time. You become, whatever you become, you will attract. So Abercrombie, okay, in the mall, appeals to a certain type of person, all right? And there's studies, and they study, and they try to figure out, I want to attract this type of person. So as a store, we're going to become something. We're going to become a certain experience. We're going to put on a certain look, and then because of that, we're going to attract this certain person, okay? Hot Topic does the exact same thing. They say, we want to attract a certain type of person with a certain personality, with a certain feel, and so we're going to create our store around this entire experience, and so we're going to attract a certain type of person. So you become what you become, you will attract. So don't buy into the misconception that relationships are about finding the right person to make everything satisfying. It's not. Great relationships are about becoming the right person. Culture completely misses this. Culture just totally misses it, and they don't talk about it at all. So, don't look for the right person. Become the right person. Determine in your heart, I want to be the type of person that I want to attract someday. Okay, whatever my list is, or whatever I'm desiring, instead of just going out and looking, determine, I want to become that person that's going to be attractive, so you don't end up like Denise in that story. Now here's a side note, just a side thing. I don't know if I believe that there's one right person out there for you. I don't know if I believe that there's one magical one that's the right. I don't believe that. I believe, like I taught before, that there's many people that you can be relationally compatible with. And I think that what makes the one, or what I believe what makes the right person, is simply a fact that you make a covenant with that person and you make a commitment to love, honor, and be faithful to that person as long as you live. That's what I think makes the one, okay? So, moving on. Cultural misconception number two says this: you're incomplete until you're in a relationship, or there's nothing good about singleness, okay? Nothing good, you're incomplete until you're in a relationship, there's nothing good about being single. This is a huge misconception, and this leads many young people to just be with someone or be in a relationship just so you don't feel like you're odd, or just so you don't feel like you're the weird one, okay? Now let me say this right off the bat with this. If you're incomplete without a relationship, you will be completely incomplete in a relationship. Right? If you're incomplete without a relationship, you'll be incomplete in a relationship. Being with somebody does not complete you. Being with somebody doesn't complete you. And if you're incomplete and then you're with somebody, that doesn't make you a whole person. That just makes an incomplete person with somebody dysfunctional relationship, okay? There's no, just, you know, a relationship is not going to fix you, make you any better, or make you any more of a person. It cannot complete you. A spouse can't complete you. Jesus is the only one that can complete you. The Bible says if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, okay? Christ is the one that completes you, okay? To talk about singleness, we don't talk about singleness very often, okay? It's not a concept we really talk about. We talk a lot about, well, let's prepare for marriage, or let's prepare to be with somebody, but we don't talk often about godly singleness, okay? And everybody in this room, all of you here, whether you have a girlfriend or not, or a boyfriend or not, you're all single, okay? And so your time as a single person is, for some it's a shorter period of time, for some it's a longer period of time. But how you live and how you respond during this time is so critical and valuable. And here's the thing, we don't talk about it often because sometimes there's not people to talk about it with or process it with, because a lot of times we know folks who are married, okay? And they forget what it's like to be single. So I'm gonna have Carrie McFadden come up right now. Carrie's one of our leaders here at FSM. She's fabulous, give her a hand. And Carrie and I, we're gonna have a discussion on the idea of singleness. Now, Carrie and I, we met up at a Starbucks a couple weeks ago. Make sure this is on. Carrie and I met up at a Starbucks a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to talk with Carrie about this because Carrie is single, okay, and it's awesome, okay. And so what we're going to do is this, and we've never tried something like this or done something like this before, but we're just going to have a discussion, and we talked at Starbucks, and I learned so much from Carrie at this coffee meeting that I was like, I said, man, the students have got to hear this. Like, they have got to hear what Carrie has to say, because what she says is so, so valuable. And so we're going to dialogue. I'm going to ask her some questions, and you're going to get to listen in. Now, I wish that slide would work. I'm so sorry it doesn't. I wanted you to be able to text in questions, but we'll be able to do that at another time. So first off, Carrie, thank you for being willing to do this. This is awesome. Can you just kind of explain to the students some of your, just your journey being single and what that's looked like?
Well, I'm middle-aged, so I'm 50. So I've been single a long time, which is fine. Pretty typical, though. You go to high school, and I just always had in my mind that I would get married in my 20s. It's kind of, typical societal expectations. And, I went to college. I got a job, and my job just has taken me all over the country. And I just have taken the steps where God has had me to go. It's a challenge in that, we talk about the myths and being complete. Think about how your families are today, and do you see your parents argue? Are your parents even together? And it really is, that's your foundation of what you're taking as you go on as an adult and as you start to experience life, even in your business career. How you get into a business negotiation or you're arguing with people is totally like how you were raised. That's where you got that skill set, right? So I had a lot to learn because I didn't necessarily come from a healthy, whatever that means, healthy family. We're all broken, right? So I had a lot of things to learn as I went. And, and God just, he just takes one thing at a time and kind of like evolves you as you go, and you get better at it or you struggle with it and you just keep working on it. I haven't actively sought out to be single. I haven't actively sought out to date either, though. So that's just kind of the way it's gone. And, it's been a transition. There's four girlfriends and I. We all did the bet. $20, whoever gets married first. I won. Thank you very much. $80 richer. But after a certain period of time, that $80 was like, okay, the meaning of that and kind of the joke behind it. I had to struggle with that. Like, okay, here I am. I get into my 20s, then I'm into my 30s. And there's physically things as a woman. Like I have to grieve not having children. Like that's something that, not by choice, but I've had to move like through that process. And God's faithful, and he's there every step of the way. And what I can tell you is my life is complete in that whole journey, and God has been by my side through it all. So, and even as an adult, which I guess I consider myself an adult now. I'm over halfway, thank God. But you know, the challenge never changes. You know, my friends are married people. It's just the way it is. People who are 50 years old are married and they have children and they have obligations, or they've been divorced and they probably still have obligations within that. So, you know, it's a challenge to find single people that are my age, that are in my lifestyle thing. But, you know, God's been pretty faithful. I've moved several times for my job, and I tell you, every place I've moved, I've gotten connected into a church, and God has connected me with, whether it be married friends, single friends, you know, just communities that, you know, I'm not sitting home alone on holidays, things like that. God has never, like, left me stranded in any step of the way, you know, along those things. And I've met a ton of people, and my life is, like, so full. I know people all across the country. And if I'd gotten married in my 20s and, you know, had a family, that would have been much more narrow than what it is today. So God's blessed me through that.
That's so good. When we were at Starbucks, you talked about how you viewed singleness, your time in singleness, whether it's you or somebody else, you know, no matter what their age is, you viewed it as a time for growth, necessary as a time for growth. Can you expound upon that a little bit?
Well, I did a little bit. So think about your families. So where you're at today, think about how your parents argue. Think about how your family discusses topics. This may or may not happen for any, you know, depending, like, I never saw my parents argue. You know, we didn't have family discussions. Well, what you're learning or not learning there is skill sets. And marriage is rubbing on somebody 24/7, okay? I can't name one person I want to spend that kind of time with today. With the exception of Tank, and that's my dog, you know, because he doesn't talk back. So that's easy. But so all of those things, like as you go through life, they're all skill sets that build you up for how you are actually going to then interact in that relationship. And it's just like, it's such a unique opportunity. I really view it as a detriment to go right into marriage, because I just don't think, it's just an age thing, right? It's not your family or anything like that. It's just, you know, if you're only 17 and say you live an average age, which is 80, think about the skills you've learned in that brief time and like how many you have to take clear to the end, right? So just year after year being single, you it's just a beautiful opportunity to figure out, you know what, like I don't argue well. That's probably the married people would tell you is the number one skill, right? To how do you argue with somebody and not tear each other apart? You know, some families, my family's passive aggressive. That's really a challenge. So how do you not become passive aggressive and be able to speak up for what you want and what you believe? What do you even believe? You know, I mean, do you really know how you feel about things? How do you feel about capital punishment, abortion, you know, the starving children? And you're like, how do you feel about those things? Maybe your family talks about it, maybe they don't. Every year is just like your world just like opens up as you become older and you experience things through your jobs and through college that allows you to form who you are as an individual, like who you really are and what you think you are. Like how you, not to have somebody, you know, push you around, but you can just say, you know what, I agree or disagree, whatever that is. Every year is a year to form that and really solidify your faith as you go through the process.
So good. We're talking about cultural misconceptions. One of the misconceptions is that single life is less valuable. Can you talk about that a little bit, your perception on that?
The whole world is like geared to, it just feels like everything is like couples and marrieds and families and in some way, shape, or form that if you're not single, then you know, well, you've got plenty of free time, right? Or like, you know what, just because I'm single doesn't mean I want to watch your kids. I may, but that doesn't mean I really should be doing that all the time, right? I have other things to do too. So I just think there's a misconception on what you bring to the table just because you may or may not be married. There's single people, it does offer freedom and time that maybe a married person and a couple doesn't have, but good Lord, what you could do with that time, right? You know, people that are rocking the world all over for Christ in business, those are people that their focus is centered on, like, this is what I'm passionate about, and I don't have any distractions to that. When you are married and you have children, they're good distractions, but your focus is, you now have other responsibilities, right? There's just so much that can happen by people that aren't hindered necessarily by things. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. Good Lord, he like started the Christian church. If he'd have been married, he'd been taking care of his family and his children back in, you know, in Jerusalem or wherever.
That's good. That's really good. So high schoolers, a lot of times, struggle with being single, struggle with not being with somebody, even at the high school level, okay? And you talked about, when we were at Starbucks, you talked about there was a period of time when you'd wrestled with God on being single, and you weren't in high school, you were in your 30s, 40s, you know, and you struggled, and you said you went through a time and wrestling with God on that. Can you describe that a little bit and what that looked like and how you, what the end result was of that?
Well, I think because society is the way it is, it's like when you don't fit into what society tells you, you start to question it. You're like, well, okay, what's up, right? Is there something wrong with me? You know, why? You know, it's like so exhausting. So I, you know, I really had to go through that. Like, you know, is there something wrong with me? And not in a negative way, but, and oftentimes the answer to, like, what I found was, you know what, Carrie, these things, you're lacking da-da-da-da. And you talk about, am I the person that somebody would want to marry? That's what I'm focused on, right? It's still a desire in my heart to be married, but I had a whole bunch of skill sets that I didn't have that I had to work on. And so that's what God has, like, faithfully done for me is, you know, every year it might be something different. It might be the same thing. You know, you have reoccurring things. But it's just every year being able to, you have to be open to it. If you want to have a pity party and sit at home with, you know, chips and wine, really easy to do. But, or if you want to just, like, grow and mature and, like, move forward, God will give you those opportunities if you'll grab a hold of them. And it's also taught me to do other things. Like, I have interests I didn't have because I don't want to sit at home alone, right? And so, like, hiking, biking, being involved with you guys, all things that you just start to look at life and, like, how can I be and expand into life just because I don't meet that little box over here, right? And oftentimes it's not easy, and it goes in peaks and valleys, right? Every time a friend would get married, you know, when we were young, it was like, no big deal. I was busy working and moving. But as you get older, and, you know, I'm going to a wedding this summer of a gal that used to live with me when she was in college, and she's getting married this summer. And every wedding that I go to, there's that little twinge that says, Lord, okay. And I, you know, take the time, and then I just move on and be happy for the person that's getting married. Because they're starting something that's a really cool part of the life. I don't know why I'm not married. I don't have the answer to that. But I can give you lots of reasons of maybe why I'm not married based on the way I've spent my life, you know? So God's faithful in that.
That's good. When we were talking, you talked about a story from the life of Hannah and how God spoke to you through that story and how it relates to singleness. Can you describe the story and what God spoke to you? Because I thought it was so powerful.
Yeah, so if you guys don't know the story of Hannah, she's married to a Jewish guy. Anyway, her husband has two wives, and the one wife is having children, which is like huge currency in the Jewish culture, right? It's like what everything was based off of. And she's having children. The other wife number one, is having all these children, and Hannah is just barren, right? And every year her husband goes and does sacrifice at the temple, and every year she goes and cries to God and prays and everything. Well, in this story, it's 1 Samuel, and she's there, and it's like, she is just bitterly at the courts, weeping and asking God. Like, she's at the end of herself, asking God, like, why? Even so that Eli, the priest, is looking at her like going, okay, she's drunk. Like, what's up with her, right? Because she's, you know, speaking with her lips but not saying anything. And he's like going, woo. And, you know, and she's like, no. I'm just, like, crying out to God. And what that spoke to me is one, if I can't be real and raw with God, if I can't have as a single person, I can walk around my house and not say anything all day long because it's just me, right? So if I can't communicate audibly in my head and be on my knees in front of God, asking and begging him for what I want, what makes me think that I can be in a relationship with a man that's healthy and authentic and full of communication? Like, he really, like, rocked me on that, because it's not that I don't pray, and it's not that I don't, you know, journal and do all this, but to really communicate with God like I would any other person, you, Ryan, talk to you, like, why shouldn't I communicate with God that way? And what it speaks to me, is really the foundation of what any relationship is. If you can't be real and authentic with God, your other relationships will lack because you're not practicing it with Christ. And what a better place to practice it with, right? And he answered her prayer.
So good. Somebody clapping on that? That deserves a clap. That's really, really good. That's really good. Okay, so students in high school, maybe there's some folks here thinking, well, Maybe I'm called to be single. Maybe I'm not. How would somebody know that? How would somebody know if they're called to be single or if they have the gift of singleness? Just kind of address that if you could.
Yeah, if you're beating people up when you're with them, you might be gifted to be single. But no, so that's a tough one. I think it's something that God, like, you have to seek God out on it. And God really has to, like, tell you that this is what he wants for you. Because what I like I said, my desire in my heart is to be married. So when that's going to happen, I don't know. I'm trying not to waste a lot of time on it. So I know that God hasn't taken that desire from me. I do know, I have a couple, they're sisters that are in this, they've been in the body of this church for a long, long time, 40 plus years. And they're now in their 60s. And one of them knew very young that she was called to be single. But it was like, it was confirmed. She heard it and it was confirmed, right? And she's never spent another day thinking about it either, which is like, it's really cool to see what God has done through this woman. Like, just even in my own life, what she's done through this woman using her. So I think it's something that you need to seek the Lord out on. I think there's seasons of singleness. And, you know, and again, I think you need to, like, talk to God about it. Because what you don't want to do is waste all this time. Like, and take this from experience. Don't waste all that time with all this angst about whether you're dating or not. Like, just, you know, and move on. Do what God has for you in that season, because it's literally a waste of valuable time, whatever it might be. It might be for your career or whatever, but it's a conversation with God, and he'll let you know whether or not that's for a year, 2 years, 5 years, or your whole life.
That's good. You talked about seasons of singleness, and everybody in this room is single right now. Some will be single longer than others, okay? But everybody's single right now. So what's one big piece of advice, big thought or something that you would give them in this particular season? You know, what would you tell them to do, or what would your encouragement be as far as being single in this season, what they should do to prepare themselves for what is next, what could be next?
Well, I would say enjoy it. Take it from an adult. Like, now is the time of your life, right? Like, have you heard that saying, youth is wasted on the young? Like, so when you get older, you're like, oh, I wish I'd have known that then. You know, I would have done that different. So really enjoy this time. And you're like at this cool time right now, right? Like, you're finishing high school, you're in high school, you've got all these things. Like, you think about Les Mis and football and cheerleading. You know, when you get your career, you're not going to be doing cheerleading on the side, just as an FYI. You're not going to be playing, you know, those things go away. So really enjoy those things. Now, this is really just like such a great time. And just know that if you want to be married, that'll come. And so use this time now to have fun and to enjoy these people that you're with right now. I have lifelong friends. I have a couple friends I've known since second grade. Lifelong friends that we just have continued that relationship. So really, like, you know, and these people here are, you know, you're already based in Christ. So these people really could be foundational people that you're going to carry with you to the end of the year or the end of your life. And what I'd also just really encourage you to do is stop wasting time. If there's someone you like and you want to go out on a date, do that. Enjoy it. Don't spend all this time like, you know, oh, she's cute, I should ask her out, but she doesn't like me. You know, and wait, it's just like spinning, right? Just like wasted time. Enjoy your friends. You know what? If you like somebody, ask her out. If she says no, move on. Too sad for her, right? Just move on. And same, likewise, you know, for the girls. There's just so much that you could be doing. And now, I mean, literally, if this is your first quarter to 20, right? You've got three quarters left of your life. Think of all that you spend, like, thinking of boys and girls. Like, like, let's go play basketball. Let's go to the movies. What am I going to do for college? Am I prepared for that? And then take the opportunity now. And you all know what your faults are. Like, if you've been in friendships or you've been in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, you know what your faults are. Maybe you have situational ethics. Maybe you tell half-truths to get yourself out of stuff now. Start working on that now. Are you telling your parents the truth? It says in the Bible, honor your mother and father and it go well with you. It will go well with you. Boys, guys, are you opening the doors for your moms? Are you practicing being a spouse now? Are you honoring her now? Are you helping with dishes? Are you picking up after yourselves? See, that sounds like labor, and that's like not fun. It's not. What it is, though, is practicing for a married life. And ladies, you should be practicing submission, and not in a negative way. That's not what submission means. When you get married as a woman, you're an essential part of that. Your husband is going to look to you for advice and for counsel. And if you are not rooted in wisdom, then you're worthless. He's going to be making all the decisions himself, and he's half of a team, right? There's so many things that you could be doing today to like become that spouse that's really valuable. Really valuable. There's you know, what does it say? A godly wife is, you know, in Proverbs is like such a jewel, but a nagging wife is like a dripping faucet. Like, hey, nobody wants to be the dripping faucet. You know, there's like a lot of skills that you know and that you can develop and just become a more whole person. Because what I can tell you, if you're in a relationship and you're needy and you have low self-confidence and you know, you don't know what you feel, like that, like as a person in that relationship, the other person goes, like, okay. Like, I got to get out of that. That didn't feel good. Part of that story with Hananiah is there's two wives. The second wife spends all day, like, needling Hannah. Guys, that is an insecure, vindictive woman. You don't want that woman. So you better be able to identify her. Because if you can't, you're going to end up with something that is going to be, like, a whole lot of pain. Right? It's not fun.
One last thing, and then we'll move on. Just in what you were saying right there, you hinted at like during your single years, developing confidence in who you are, you know, because that's so important. Because if you're unconfident in your singleness, getting in a relationship isn't going to help that, you know. In fact, it probably magnifies it and by far makes it worse. Can you speak to that just a little bit? Maybe you already did, but maybe you have other thoughts on that.
Yeah, I just would reiterate what I said, that like, you know what your faults are, you know what your shortcomings are. Nobody is more hard on ourselves than our own person, right? So figure out what those are and try to work on them. Get somebody, and maybe it's one of your parents that you can trust, where you can ask them, like, okay, what's up? Like, what do I, like, when you look at me and you see things that you wish, it's a shortcoming, like, and they'll do it in a loving way if you ask them really for advice. Like, use the time to really become a better individual. Because so here's the thing, even if you're gonna go and get a job, you know, when you're sitting in the business environment, you want somebody who is ethical. I can tell you, of all the people that I've worked for, the guy that or gal that I will go through the river through, you know, as a manager, is an ethical person. I really wanna work for that individual. It doesn't mean I work less hard for somebody that's not, but it's a whole lot easier to work for somebody who you know has good character. And that's ultimately what we want. We want people to identify us, because all you have when you walk out of this world is what people say about you because of who you are. It's really like reputation, right? I want a godly reputation. I want people to know when I walk in the room, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to work hard because I work for the Lord, not for man. And if they ask me something, I'm going to tell them really what I think from a point of wisdom and knowledge. That is what you should be working on now. Every year, just continue to work on that.
That's awesome. Give Carrie a hand. Okay, that's kind of like gold that you just got. It's very rare, just to be just totally honest, it's very rare that you find somebody who's been single for a long period of their life, all their life, who you can actually talk with about this kind of stuff, who's not awkward, who's willing to share about it, who's not bitter. And so just having Carrie and her being willing to share, that's huge. And so hope you gained something from what she said.